Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones. Call in and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time, yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Annie, the radio chick, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mike.
Well, good afternoon, Annie. Great to be here in Southern Sense on this Tuesday. It is Valentine's Day, 2012.
Yep. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. Hope their loved one is treating them well today. If not, just take out a rolling pin and hit him over the head.
Welcome. We already got some people in the chat room, so I'd like to welcome all our guests and, of course, Jubal.
Okay. We've got a couple of little local announcements going on. February 25th, we're going to have a rhino hunt here in South Carolina. It's going to be in Myrtle Beach at the Veterans Cafe located at 1144 Shine Avenue. So February 25th at 1 o'clock, it's at the Air Force Base, the Veterans Cafe, next to the VA clinic. There's going to be a rhino hunt, so watch out, guys. Rhino hunt time is coming here in South Carolina. The other one is I put up an email up in the chat room to Megan Piero at FirstCitizensOnline.com. Deanna Hoggood is a little three-year-old girl, and this little girl is sitting in a hospital going through extensive rehab. She has to learn how to walk and talk all over again. And all because her mother not only beat her, but stabbed her and threw her off a third-story balcony. And this little girl is struggling to survive in a hospital. And they're looking for people to donate a few dollars to help with her rehab. She's going to be going into a special rehab up in North Carolina. They're sending her for the special rehab. She's currently at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. So this little three-year-old girl is going to have to, from the day one, have to relearn how to walk and talk. So if you can, just take $5 out of your wallet, you know, send an email to this Megan Piero at First Citizens Online, and just whatever you can, donate to help this little girl with her recovery. You know, I don't understand how a mother can do that. Can you, Mike?
Well, there's a lot of people in this world with a lot of women in this world who have given birth, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily makes them a mom.
No. No, but how do you do that to a little three-year-old child? You know,
well, a lot of times inside of them it's hollow. You know, there's a hollowness at the core of their whole lifestyle. Even though they've given birth to a child, I mean, just there's an emptiness inside. And there's no thought, there's no conscience, and there's no heart. How the hell you throw them out the window? That's oh my God.
Well,
but you know, for some people, Annie, it's probably no different than you and I going to the bathroom.
I honestly, and then there's a picture of her in the newspaper, and she's the most adorable looking little thing. You know, such a sweet face. And how I don't understand how a parent could not just beat the child, not just have the child undergo the horror of being beaten, but stab the child, then pick her up and throw her off a third-story balcony. This is something someone has to consciously do. It's not like, you know, you accidentally trip over the cat or something.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, if somebody can help out, you know, you don't necessarily need to spend $100, just a couple bucks, dollar or two. Every dollar helps. You know, a collection of enough $1 bills makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I'm also putting up a phone number directly to the bank. So if they don't want to send an email to make a donation, they can call the bank directly and say they want to make a donation to Deanna Hoggood for her treatment, and they can call this number, 843-522-8088. You know, like I said, you know, any little bit can help, you know, $5 or whatever, and it's going to help this little girl recuperate. And, you know, thankfully she does have other family, a godmother who's going to be taking care of her and helping her with her rehab. You know, thankfully she's got someone to help her, but to know for the rest of her life that these scars on her little tiny body were caused by her own mother. It's something I cannot quite fathom. And, you know,
certainly hard to imagine. I mean, people like us, not a lot of, obviously politically people don't think like us, but even realistically with family, just people don't. I mean, we lost Whitney Houston due to drug overdose, but also she had massive family problems beyond what we can even imagine. I mean, if we can go back to Michael Jackson, Anna Nicole, Marvin Gaye, these families were nothing like us, whereas if we have a fight and we take a half hour off from talking to each other, or, you know, maybe we throw something at each other, something, this is there's a part of society which, I mean, there's just nothing of value to them, not even their own life.
Well, I saw a phone call did flash up, but whoever it was with area code 770, please call back in. I was just ready to bring you on the air, and you flipped out on me.
I think that was Doc Jones.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome everyone into the chat room here. We've got Kel, our Canadian gal. We've got Malcolm X, and Tesla is in the house. Good afternoon, all. Our call-in line is open. It's 917-889-3675. Our guest, Andrew Ian Dodge, will be joining us at approximately 2:30. And we got the caller back in on the air here, and area code 770, you're on the air live with 7 Cents. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Southern, it's me, Dr. Jones. How are you?
Dr. Jones is in the house. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I'm getting better. Still battling this bronchitis. Fever comes and goes, but they told me it's going to be a couple more weeks.
Oh, well, you know what? Get your rest and stay away from those prescription drugs.
Oh, man, no drugs? Oh, they take all the fun away.
Yeah. I got a confession to make about prescription drugs later on tonight on my show, so stay tuned. I just got in the car. I'm just driving down the road, headed back down to D.C. from Alexandria, and I just thought I'd tune in, you know, while I'm driving and then log on once I get inside my office, so...
Hey, Doc, how was the CPAC meeting? How'd that go?
Oh, there he is. I do apologize, Cool Mike. I guess, you know, Annie is just such a dominating personality that sometimes it's hard to, remember that you're still there. You know, she just takes over. So I'm glad.
Of course, she's always with Al Jazeera and ABC and CNN and public broadcasting interviewer. Who the hell even knows
famous.
Who Mike's in existence?
Right, she's famous now. Pretty soon, you know, we're going to be asking for her autograph. Well, we're going to be begging to get an interview, or you know, ask her to take a meeting or a phone call. She's going to have her people get with our people. It's all going to be crazy pretty soon. So we better just bask in her glow, you know, while we can.
Well, let me tell you something. Hearing the words, Mike, we're going to be letting you go today. That's a common occurrence in my life. So I mean, once Danny makes it to the big time, I'm ready for it. But anyway, how'd everything go at the meeting? And what's up with the conservatives supporting Romney?
I told you Romney's going to be the man. He's the Mac of all daddies right now, and I voted for him in the straw poll. But more importantly, Ann Coulter stole the show at CPAC. If you get a chance to listen to her commentary, her speech, her comedy show that she put on at CPAC, it was just magnificent. I think that she should be the keynote speaker next year. She did such a fine job. I would really love for Rush Limbaugh to come back. The year before last, he was the man. But it was great. It wasn't as hard to get into as I thought it would be, given the protesters outside. The place was packed. Everybody was there. I got a chance to stand next to, I didn't get a chance to talk to many, but I got a chance to stand next to people that I'd only seen on TV, and I got a feeling that that's how, you know, we're going to be looking at Annie in a couple more months or so. It was amazing. I got a chance to sit next to Ann Coulter and get a picture with her. Nothing but legs on that woman. No butt. None, mind you. But hey, everything else is fantastic. Fantastic woman. Can I say that?
You certainly can. You know, there's going to be a time where maybe Doc Annie will be a keynote speaker somewhere, and you and I will be looking through the window on the outside thinking, like, man, remember when she was her friend?
Yeah, she won't let us in. It'll be like, Annie, it's me, Cool Mike. And her security will be shooing us away. And she walks by.
Yeah.
But we're glad to know her now and be able to get on the phone, you know, and hear her voice in person and talk to her without having to deal with her people. So let's just enjoy that while we can.
What was the highlight of Ann's speech while we have you on the air who was there?
Well, the highlight of Ann's speech was, of course, the idea that a lot of Americans voted for President Obama based on his skin color and not on his qualifications. And as I pointed out many times, and is obvious, you know, Martin Luther King said, not the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. And we seem to have gone and bent over backwards by voting for a man who absolutely has, I'm not going to question his character, but has no qualifications to be the man he is, to hold the office he's holding, but has basically done so based, in my opinion, and on a lot of others, on the color of his skin. And so, Ann, that was the highlight of Ann Coulter's speech, and it was brilliant. Marco Rubio did a good job. Mittens, as Tesla calls him, did a great job. I can't think, you know, there were a few snoozers where I had to, you know, walk out and then head over to Forge Theater, you know, get some air for a little while. There were a few folks up there who were, you know, I didn't, kind of boring, but very few indeed. It was great. The first time I'd gone, you know, the last 3 years, I watched CPAC, you know, on the internet, like a lot of folks did, and I enjoyed it. But given the opportunity to be there in person, you know, it cost quite a bit of money, you know, to get in there, to get into the banquets and all that, but it was worth every penny, and I had a great time.
Well, see, that's one of the things I said, that whenever I go to one of these debates or things like that, or even we had the South Carolina Tea Party Convention, unless you're physically there in person, you don't get the whole entire flavor, and you don't catch what the undercurrents are of the mood of the people there. You know, if you see it on the internet, you know, you're just watching To me, it's like almost two-dimensional. You don't get the third dimension. You don't get that.
You don't get them coming off the podium and then talking to you. You don't see them standing around talking to each other. Aaron Coulter talking to Mitt Romney talking to Newt. They're back slapping, laughing, grinning, having a great time. You think these guys are mortal enemies, when they're on screen. But they're Marco Rubio, Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney standing together, you know, chatting as if they were old frat brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, you're absolutely right, Annie. Absolutely.
Well, that's the truth about any event. I mean, when you are there live, whether it's a sporting event or just any event whatsoever, when you watch it on TV, that's all good. But, I mean, when you're there in person, the electricity that is where you're taking place and just the excitement, the people you're meeting, the conversations that are taking place, what you see that the one- or two-dimensional television doesn't show, it just blows your mind. And I'll give you a perfect example. As I was at a Super Bowl one time, and when you went home and you watch the post game on television, it's like two different games. What you saw on TV and what you saw live in person are two different things. And I'm sure with CPAC, I mean, you just mentioned all these people. I think sitting at home, you picture that Newt and Rubio and all them are probably just a second away from a barroom brawl. When Don Jones just pointed out, they're all right next to each other messing around.
That also goes
to my point that we have a lot more in common with each other than, you know, a lot of people are willing to admit. Media wants us to fight. But if we just turn around and forget about mainstream media and just stick with our core message, we can turn around and kick Obama and the rest of the progressives completely out of government.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And given this latest fiasco with the contraceptive deal and this asinine, ridiculous budget that this clown has proposed, you know, he's putting nails in the coffin. And folks are saying that, you know, well, his poll numbers have gone up and that, it's going to be very much more difficult to beat him. And I agree that it's going to be very hard to beat him. I think, and I know a lot of folks are not on Mitt Romney's bandwagon right now, but if Mitt Romney chooses the proper, very carefully chooses the proper running mate, I believe that we stand a better than, you know, a really great chance of unseating Obama, you know, this fall, despite the rising poll numbers and the lowering of the unemployment numbers.
Who would you suggest at this point, though, Doc? I mean, who would you suggest as, say, three people that he should consider? Because he's going to get the nomination. It's just not, I mean, we can wishful thinking for the opposition all you want, whether regardless of party, whether it's the Rick Santorum people or Ron Paul, regardless. The chances of Romney not walking away with this nominee are zero.
Yeah, agreed. I would say Newt, second in command. Marco Rubio. My first choice would be Rubio. Second would be Newt. Third, Chris Christie. Game over for Obama.
I don't know about that. I think you'd go for a female and probably Nikki Haley. Listen, Doc, we got another call coming in. Let me bring this person in on the air.
Sure.
Area code 207, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. To whom am I speaking?
It's Andrew. I'm calling in early. Sorry.
Hi, Andrew. I didn't expect you for another few minutes. Ladies
and
gentlemen.
Gentlemen, Andrew, Ian, Dodge.
Yay.
Well, good afternoon, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. You're my second interview of the day, and the first one went well. So I'm pleased and rested, and almost embarrassed to say I'm from Maine, considering the saga of this weekend. Have you been reading about it much?
We were just discussing Romney winning the straw poll. And matter of fact, Doc Jones is on the phone with us, was at CPAC.
Oh, the straw poll in Maine was just pathetic. I mean, if they wanted to look like they fixed it, they did a very, very good job.
Matter of fact, not all of the towns have finished the straw poll, have they?
Oh, no. Well, you know, we're Maine. We're not Florida, right? It does something called snowing. And one of the towns up north, Washington County, they get more snow than the coast of Maine. Let's be honest. I mean, they're farther north. The one person running it said, I don't want people risking their butts for a not, you know, it's a preferential poll. It's non-binding, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm postponing it. And the chairman of the party, Charlie Webster, said, you know the rules, tough shit. You're not, it's not sticking. We're not counting it. And I mean, I don't care who you support. This is ridiculous. And this is a, by the way, Charlie Webster and the Republican Party in Maine are obsessed with voter fraud in Maine. They think it's rife. There's no evidence of it, but they think it's rife. And for them to just do this and arbitrarily say, well, anybody who couldn't do it between the 4th and 11th, tough, you don't count, is ridiculous. And it makes Mainers look like fools. And it's disingenuous and it's disenfranchisement, which is something you don't want. What they don't seem to realize in Augusta, the Maine Republican Party, is there are a lot of towns that have town meetings. I don't know if they do that in South Carolina, but the whole town comes together and they decide the big issues. It's seat of your pants democracy, and it's great stuff. But a lot of the towns do it starting in February. So there may be towns where they would hold it, they couldn't hold it between the 4th and 11th because they have a town meeting. And for the state Republican Party to say, okay, right, February 11th, we're going to call in all the press and we're going to declare a winner. It's just ridiculous. So needless to say, the ones that could have their events are all the Southern Maine ones, many of whom went for guess who?
Who?
Romney.
Romney.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you probably can't make total judgments like that, but the more urban areas would be more likely to go for Romney because he comes from Massachusetts and, you know, everything else. And
Romney
the more urban
is going to be the nominee. I mean, there's just no, you know, I would like Santorum. It's not happening. Realistically, and this happens every year, it's basically, I think you mentioned this the last time you were on there. Seems like every party who is not in power, when the primaries start getting underway, there's always one person, well, it's his turn. This is going to be their guy. And
well, he's got practice at it. I mean, let's be honest. Of the bunch of remaining, there were very few that looked quote unquote presidential. Romney is one of them. Whether you like him or not, he looks presidential. And a lot of people who are not political wonks and nerds and geeks like us, no offense, only care about, they say, do I believe that guy is my president or not? And Romney looks like that. Because they don't look into the nuances. I mean, you know, I don't have a preference right now. It's just partly because I'm a candidate. I'm not expressing a preference. But all of them have negatives and all of them have positives. But most people don't take the time or have the time to dig deep into their past and their voting records and what they said in 1972 and, you know, all the rest of it. We do. And that's what we sometimes have to understand.
Now, how is your campaign going? I'll let everyone know that you are running up against Olympia Snowe for the Senate seat in Maine. We want to get the rhino out and get Andrew in there. His website is dodgeforsenate.com. So go there. And if you've
got a new look, too.
Yes, I noticed that yesterday when I was doing my money bombs. Hey, how'd you make out with the money bombs we were sending last night?
I haven't checked. Doug would know. He's my website guy. I was concentrating on the interview today, on what I was doing today, and I haven't really looked. But hopefully it helped. It's, you know, it's difficult. I would point to last weekend as a good example of what we're up against. Despite the fact that no one spoke off the cuff for Senator Snowe, they had talking points, which they read, many of which people in the audience actually laughed at. They were so untrue. That's the way it is. And it was particularly interesting that during the caucuses, I had people who were thinking of signing my petition to be on the ballot physically dragged away from my table so they wouldn't sign. And it's very interesting. There are a lot of people who are unwilling to be seen as supporting anybody against Snowe. And, you know, it's just, it's very, very difficult. I plan to win, and I'm definitely going to be there to make sure to keep her honest, but it's very difficult. And the Republican Party, if it wasn't, if we didn't know beforehand, we knew this weekend that the Republican Party of Maine is not the Republican Party. It's the Snow Party. Whatever she wants goes. She likes Romney, therefore he won. Yeah.
Well, let's face it. It's clearly, without a doubt, the GOP is the upper echelon, our fat cats from the country club. They're actually the ones who have actually taken part in destroying this country, no different than the Democrats. And, you know, for as long as they're in control, what we just need is a good group, a large group of us middle-class people, the Tea Partiers and the other middle-class people, to just overrun them to a point where it's out of control, almost like a riot where you have 10 police, but you have millions of rioters. And we need to just take the party back. Because if you really think about it, the Republicans resonated to the conservative movement a long time ago. And now that's kind of moved away. We need to do that again.
Well, it's because people got complacent. And it happens. I mean, politics in long-standing democracies, I don't care whether it's the UK or other countries in Europe that have had long-standing democracies, or the U.S., these parties think there's only us, but if they don't work, they can be replaced. Remember, the Republican and the Democrat Party have not always been around. They were the Whigs and the Bull Moose Party, although it wasn't successful. But there were other parties, and if these two parties are unrepresentative of the wishes and the needs of the people, they can be replaced despite how much power they think they have, because Americans are capable of replacing what they don't like in the political sphere. And you'd think that they'd be listening after 2010, but, you know, they're not. Olympia Snow stands up there and says, I'm a fiscal conservative. I've done all these wonderful things to cut the budget. And you sort of have to you listen to it, and you're almost saying, am I – living in a different reality. It's particularly interesting that people in the Republican Party who go to these caucuses allow her, and the main media allows her, to completely invent her the last 6 years of her career.
Well, it's almost like the individuals with power become rogue Republicans, and they are almost their own little own dictators within their own sector.
Well, certainly they are in this state, but that's. I always thought I was being paranoid when I thought that, but after this weekend, it's just...
No, it was rather blatant, rather blatant. Listen, we do have a caller in on the line. This is Thomas. He's also a BTR host here, the Invisible Conservative. You're on the air live, Thomas, with our guest, Andrew Ian Dodge, running for Senate in Maine against Olympia Snow.
I know. I was on last time he was there.
Hey, Thomas. Welcome. Andrew, I got to ask you, what do you do when... you're sitting there with your group and need petition signatures, and these a-holes come and grab someone to prevent that. I mean, don't you that's almost like slamming a door in your face. I mean, what do you say?
It's just what you got to be used to do. It's the way it works in Maine. And right now, and you just it would be slightly different. They weren't particularly manhandled. This was someone slightly older. And the other person just gently guided them away from my table. And what was particularly funny is this was going to happen again, and the guy collecting signatures for Snow piped up and said, well, you can sign his form. Why don't in places that weren't these big kind of, lots of towns in the same place, people were more likely to just go right down the line and sign for every single person, even though some of these people might be competitive. Which was interesting. And at these big events, these big, lots of towns together, there was much less of that. It's all quite fascinating, the dynamics. And needless to say, the towns I went to where Snow wasn't there, she had, sort of someone reading, and the other guy didn't have anybody speaking on his behalf. I got more signatures than even at some of these bigger events, because people just appreciated that I got off my butt and came to see them. I mean, there were no other caucuses last Friday, and I went to one just because I thought they deserved to see potential candidates. And you know, every time you get a chance to speak to a group, whether it's five or 50,000, you need to do it. And it was good fun. It was interesting. But yet again, the guy chairing the meeting was wearing a Romney sticker. He's chairing a caucus wearing a Romney sticker. This is basic.
Oh, a little nonpartisan there, huh? Well, Andrew, I have a question for you. Okay, if my mic gets muted in the meantime, this is Annie. Have you ever been told you resemble anybody popular in this world, well known?
Oh no, you are not going there. You are not going. Oh, you
well,
did not.
The two ones that I've gotten are Ron Jeremy and Gene Simmons. I have to say, I prefer Gene Simmons.
Who's Ron Jeremy?
He's a porn star. I actually had people putting that. It's really funny. It's just sort of
really.
Like, yeah, the first thing that comes into your head is porn star.
Yeah, I was thinking Gene Simmons. Annie disagreed, and I was just like, no, like not Gene Simmons, but Gene Shalit from Kiss. Anyway,
I said Gene Simmons from Kiss. Back in the days when I was in college, I performed as Kiss, as Gene Simmons, because I've got sort of a similar hair and similar features and stuff. So that one I don't mind. But the Ron Jeremy one, I'm just sort of like, and you consider that an insult? I mean, it's silly.
Well, you know, I was going to say, and this is kind of, society is weird. You mentioned Kiss. Isn't it weird how if you go back into, like, even going back, like, to the 20s and 30s, it seems like each decade there was a musician or a band that came along that the whole country would swear, they're the devil. The devil has appeared, whether it's Elvis or Kiss or it's just, and now, of course, it's the horrible rap and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's just, you had mentioned Kiss, and I remember, I think it was my grandma, I don't remember who it was, but just like holding a crucifix to the television. They were just so bad. It just, and you mentioned that, it just kind of, it's, politics is something, whether it's, you know, people saying that this band is the devil or a leader of a caucus being very biased and wearing a sticker. You know, if he's going to wear a sticker, he may as well just wear a T-shirt with a hat and flash his pictures
It was just the most bizarre thing. I mean, actually, the funny thing is there were only five electors. There were probably 15 other people, none of whom had the vote, and there were five people with the vote, which actually was kind of funny.
Five.
That's how many people went to that caucus.
Politics. It's a dirty business.
And you get the funniest, you get really amusing criticisms. There's a good site that you might want to visit for a laugh called www.asmaingoes.com, and there's a decent amount of discussion about me. And one person criticized me for going to my town caucus at the expense of other ones. And I sort of went, but surely if you're running and you're from a local town, you should show up and speak on your own behalf at your own caucus. Needless to say, I got over half the people there to sign for me. But it was great. It was good fun. I mean, this is seat of your pants caucus. They did it within an hour. They did everything in an hour. None of this mewing and taking a long time and having everybody and their brothers speak for 20 minutes.
With people that are just so wrapped up in Mrs. Snow? I mean, do they not see her voting?
They're scared of her. There are a lot of people involved in politics who owe their positions to Snow. Maine is a bit like some of those third world countries where people don't want the dictator to get out because that's the only reason they have their position. And think about it. You have Senator Snow. You have a person who's more or less her stepson, who her first husband got into college and paid for his college education in Paul LePage's governor. And the head of the Senate, the state Senate, Kevin Ray, is running in the 2nd District. He's got an opponent, by the way, who never gets mentioned. Funny that. And so she's going to have all these positions with her people in. And what I suspect is going to happen is, you know, she's getting on a bit. When she decides to retire, she's going to have Paul LePage probably appoint Kevin Ray as her replacement. And Kevin Ray thinks just like him and owes loyalty to Snow. And there's going to be no democracy there. It's just going to be, okay, because Snow and her family, McKernan, and the people around her want to control everything. And they're doing it. And the problem in Maine is people in Maine don't have very much patience with this kind of crap. And what they do is instead of fighting it, they leave the party. And, I mean, I know three or four people who left the party who told me in emails and various things that they left the party in the last 48 hours. They said, I cannot be a part of this. I'm leaving the party. Because
so, in other words, the Republican Party is losing its base because of her. Thomas had wanted to make a comment. Thomas?
I just wanted to make this comment. Andrew and whoever, what you need to do as a candidate, really, and I'm sure you're already doing this, you need to just go all balls out against Olympia Snow, because you know what? She, as far as I'm concerned, and I live in the Midwest, and I know who she is, and along with the other supposed Republican candidate from Maine. Those two are probably the worst rhinos this side of the this side. Yeah, good point. But my point is this. You need to let them know. You need to do something and let them know, hey, I'm not playing this game with you. And the reason why I say that, if I might, I want to share just a quick little story. I don't know if a lot of you guys are familiar with the Frederick Douglass Foundation. I'm not talking about Frederick Douglass Republicans because it's two separate organizations. Well, the Frederick Douglass Foundation sponsored a bill to honor Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony, John Conyers, and another Democratic senator from somewhere in the East. They submitted an amendment which was passed by Republicans 24-1, doing away with the bill because they said that the Frederick Douglass Foundation was a political organization dedicated specifically to the Republican Party. Well, when I talked to Tim Johnson, who's our national chairman, yesterday, I said, Tim, what they did, and he didn't even realize this. I said, Tim, they went to the Frederick Douglass Republicans page, and they did not go to our website. So, in essence, what happened, because the Congressional Black Caucus, by the way, I'm a black conservative. The Congressional Black Caucus came out and they attacked us with all kinds of other accusations. So now we all the state chapter presidents, because I'm the state chapter president in Missouri, we are basically about to take the fight back to Washington. And it's not just them. It's the establishment Republicans, because we as conservatives, we are sick and tired of conservatives being marginalized, not only by liberals, but by the establishment GOP. So I said all that to say this. I was here last time when you was on. I know you are a true conservative. I love your views. And let's go to war with these guys, because we are sick and tired of marginal candidates who aren't doing crap for the people. That's
exactly
all I have to say.
Well, the fundamental problem I have, and I may have expressed this last time, is I sent out a press release a week. My most recent one is about the saga of Saturday. I mean, I was actually there at the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And the main press just does not report it. They refuse to report any press release I send out because they're shilling for Snow. I mean, there is completely – they don't cover the other guy running either. We get no coverage at all. As I jokingly said one time, I could paint myself red, white, and blue, run naked down Portland, and they just say, oh, that's Dodge, not even cover me. And that is the fundamental frustration. People saying, oh, why aren't you getting out there? Why aren't you getting more attention? Why aren't you talking about the issues? It's very difficult in a large rural state, in a very large rural state. And we need people in other parts of the country to write about it. And I've had people in other parts of the world write about me, because if enough of that happens, then Maine journalists might pick it up.
Right.
And I can rest assured to your listeners, and hopefully some of them will donate, that Olympia Snow will be held to task between now and November. Nothing,
good.
Nothing that she can do to me will stop me speaking up, because this has gone long enough. And if she wanted to make it easier for me to attract people to support my cause, she and Charlie Webster, the head of the Republican Party, have done an amazing job in the last 6 months, an absolutely amazing job. I mean, first of all, we had a gay-bashing, people-from-away-bashing letter that was sent out about an issue completely unrelated to either one of those two groups, because the head of the Republican Party in Maine thought that the way to get rural voters to vote his way is to play to their base instinct. And this was just, it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling advertisement. And it turned people off, and people didn't support the referendum and supported the opposite because they didn't want to be seen as associated with this stuff. And then we have this situation this Saturday where I don't care who you support. Even if you're undecided, it is completely wrong to have all these parts of the state told you don't count. Oh, it's Snow, tough shit. I mean, literally, no offense, but that's what they said. And then they make this announcement like it's the final announcement. They should have postponed the announcement and done it, you know, this week.
You know, from a lot what you're describing, Andrew, it's almost like they should have let you set your table up outside,
yeah,
like on the sidewalk or something.
Well, actually, this announcement thing was particularly amusing and all around. And I went with my wife and my mother, and we had it was interesting to be there and witness it. Let's just say, and you know, whoever you support, it makes us all look bad. And Maine's economy is suffering. We need jobs. We need people to invest in Maine. And there are lots of states out there, and leading Republicans should not be making the state look like a bunch of fools. And that's what they're doing. And it frustrates the hell out of me. And, I mean, I'm jumping up and down till I'm blue in the face. And the problem is you don't get reported on. And no one cares because, let's be honest, ultimately, the Republican Party, the establishment in D.C., wants Snow to stay, doesn't want any rumbling in a primary against her, wants her to win because she's an R. They don't think they're going to take enough to make their majority, to make her irrelevant, so if they lose her seat. They're worried about taking the Senate, and they'll take any Republican as long as they're a Republican. They don't care whether they're a rhino, whether they're, you know, the most corrupt thing on the planet. Doesn't matter. As long as they're a Republican, then they'll have the majority. That's all they care about.
Well, aren't they running the Republican Party more like a monarchy rather than a republic?
Well, in this state, certainly. I mean, I actually said in my speech to caucuses, I said, we live in a representative democracy. We don't live in an aristocracy. This is not a coronation for another 6 years. This is supposed to be an election. And of course, you know, she's allowed to repeat these untruths, and her entire argument for being reelected is, well, I'm better than a Democrat because I'm a Republican. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. That is her entire argument. If you don't vote me in, if someone else wins the primary, the Democrats are definitely going to win, and you'll have a Democrat there. Which is like, wait, how can she prove that? She thinks that she's the only one who can get the independent voters in Maine to vote Republican, which is ridiculous. I mean, because there are a lot of people in Maine who are conservative of the right, shall we say, that are independents because they're so fed up with the Republican Party. I mean, I hear from them all the time. In fact, there are independents in this state who say I should run as an independent. I mean, who are quote-unquote conservatives, because that is how bad it's gotten.
Wow. Well, we got another caller coming in. Let me bring this person in on the air live. Area code 207, you're on the air live on Southern Sense.
Hey. Well, hello. This is a lot of you know me as No Way 90, and I think Andrew knows who
I
am.
No Way.
How you doing? And, you know, I do want to say you are right, Andrew, when it comes to Olympia snow.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Waterboro. And for the past 2 years, what I've noticed happen here, we have 4,600 registered voters. Our last selectman's vote last summer, 411 turned out.
Wow.
That was it.
Wow.
They have been disenfranchised by the corruption within our town hall that instead of fighting it, they just, I won't vote.
But that's because,
so,
I mean, if our economy was doing well in Maine and people had time, but people in Maine, you must know this as well as I do, many have to work two jobs. And,
oh, yes.
And people are hurting because this state, despite the fact that we have a Republican governor who is supposed to come in and be, you know, miracle worker, is still losing jobs. There's this whole thing that happened at the Brunswick Air Base, former Brunswick Air Base, where this airplane manufacturer was going to come in and create all these jobs, blah, 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 blah. And it turns out they moved to Wisconsin because they got sick of the bureaucracy and being messed about by the Maine government. And there are all kinds of other things. They claim these things, but we're still hemorrhaging jobs. There's still no opportunity for intelligent young adults. They have to leave the state. And that's why people get frustrated, because they've got to work very hard to stay afloat with all the taxes.
Right. Yeah, what I done here is we have a problem in town with a water contamination problem.
Mm.
There was some shady deals that went on with Monsanto Corporation and an owner of a gravel pit right across the road from my house. They put a middle school on top of it.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. And now the problem is the people that are on the select board were all part of helping cover it up. And one selectman bought the land and
don't.
I think he dropped.
Yeah, I think he may have dropped.
That's probably those people who put the school right on top of there.
Well, some
cut
some
you right off. But that's a perfect
of
example
is,
of something, Andrew. Let's play devil's advocate here. You're elected, Andrew. What are you going to do to correct a problem like that? Right now, you are the senator. This man comes to you and tells you this. What do you do?
You have to fully investigate it. When you live in these kind of towns, and another good example, which is not as serious, is back in the days when the only way to get any television other than over air was cable, towns, as in the selectmen, would do deals with the cable companies. And consequently, in some towns, they actually decided what cable content you could get in the town, quite literally. Obviously, now with DirecTV and Dish Television, that monopoly on access to television is gone. But that is another fundamental problem that you get. And I think, as senator, one of the biggest things that we need to tackle is we need to tackle the problem of welfare. It doesn't matter whether it's individual welfare, people who shouldn't be on welfare or still are, or whether it's companies. We have to end corporate welfare. And, I mean, the bailouts are just the most egregious example of that. If you're a company and you can't make it, you need to go bankrupt. We have the various protections from bankruptcy, Chapter 11, Chapter 14, 7, the various ones. I should know that better. I apologize. And we need to let companies go through that process rather than throwing taxpayers' money at failures, which generally are taken from successful individuals and successful companies, and trying to keep them afloat, and in many cases, and they go under anyway. It's ridiculous, but it happens. This is corporatism. This is not. It's not the free market. We need an actual free market where companies can innovate, succeed, or fail. Life is about success and about failures. Companies don't need welfare. We don't need a safety net for companies. You know?
Well, it certainly didn't happen with the small farmers. When the big farmers were taken over, you know, the small farmers kind of imploded. And I mean, the bottom line is that the federal government's role is spelled out very simply in our Constitution. Like it or not like it, I mean, it's just spelled out. It doesn't matter what my opinion really is. If the federal government is mandated by our Declaration and our Constitution to its role. So, I mean, it's that simple. It's almost like a code of ethics by a company. And the founding fathers were very specific.
This has happened whether it's Rome or whether it's the British Empire or the European Union, but obviously that wasn't around. Naturally, the center of power, it tries to bring all its power to itself because it's an organ, it's a living organism that feeds off power. I mean, this is not a criticism of any central government or anything. It's just a matter of fact. The state capital tries to bring all the power to that, and the federal government tries to. And the founding fathers knew about this. They understood this because it's happened in every country and every empire before that, that you need protection for the states and for the individuals from that natural sort of byproduct of governance, which is the consolidation of power. And that's why there are clear – that's why we have the balance of powers. That's why we have a clear distinction between those powers which are federal and those powers which are state. And, you know, this argument that people make on the right and on the left, and it's funny when it comes out the same, well, what happens if this state bans this and allows this and allows this and allows this? And what, this other state wants to ban it all.
Aren't you finding now that you're battling, because you've got yourself a huge uphill battle here with Olympia Snow, but you're battling a new class of people that we've developed here in the United States. It's the political class, people that just simply are getting elected for the sake of being elected, and they can make their millions by simply holding office.
Yeah, well, she thinks she believes it's hers until she decides otherwise. The woman, as far as I'm concerned, has never done anything in her life besides being a politician. She married well. Her husband died. She took his seat, and has been there ever since. That's it. I mean, it's fundamentally everything about it is wrong, and everything about it is it's more you know, aristocratic France before the French Revolution than it is democratic or even a representative Republican. You don't marry, you know, just because you marry well doesn't mean that you get all the power in the state, and that's pretty much what has happened. And you know, it takes someone to come along or other people to come along, and you have to challenge the hegemony of Senator Snow. And the only reason I can get away with doing it probably is because I'm a freelance writer and I don't earn my crust in Maine. A freelance writer online can earn their money from anywhere, and because I've spent a fair amount of time outside the state, and I don't owe my living to the patronage of Snow or people that back her, and that's why people are unwilling to go up against her. I mean, you know, I've been told that. To my people have said, you know, I can't be seen as outwardly supporting her because I do business and, you know, someone related to her is involved in my business, or I do business with. It's as simple as that, and it's I don't know what you want to call it, but were I to defeat Snow in whatever manner that I do it, it would be almost like a revolution. It would on the right. It would be equivalent to the French Revolution or the American Revolution.
Well, of course, throughout politics, I mean, the Kennedys, the Dailies in Chicago, many. She's the machine. First, I was reading. This is the first time you were on, and I really weren't familiar with you, so I looked you up, and then I looked up Olympia Snow. And if I'm not mistaken, her first elected office was right around when Watergate was taking place. I mean, this lady's been around forever. I mean, that's the machine, no different than the Kennedys or the Dailies, but up in your area.
Yeah, it's 4 decades.
But one of her biggest assets, this is akin to the Kennedys, I suspect. The Kennedys, they were very close with a certain ethnic grouping in Massachusetts, Irish Americans, and once they started dissipating Irish Americans across the country out of Massachusetts, their power decreased. And Olympia Snow, one of her biggest bases of support are old people, are people of a similar age, who quite honestly walk up to you and tell you that you act like it's elder abuse. How can you possibly be attacking dear Olympia? She's such a nice old, she's such a nice lady, blah, 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 blah. And it's difficult to explain to these people that I'm not attacking an old lady. This is politics. I am running against a politician named Olympia Snow, not a 70-year-old woman named Olympia Snow. There is a fundamentally huge difference, and you have to take it away from that sort of personalizing it, because it's fundamentally difficult to describe that when people literally walk up to either me or my northern spokesman and say, "How dare you attack our Olympia?" And it's like there is no concept of democracy, of course it's representative government, of the fact that we should give people a choice. Discussing the issues, which are completely subsumed in her case, and her complete attempt at rewriting history, it's how dare you run against our dear Olympia, which is just beyond me. I mean, it's sort of like a detachment of reality, and as if I'm attacking a saint or something. And
well, they're using the Obama tactic, you're attacking me because I'm a black man. In this case, you're attacking her because she's an old woman.
Yeah, older woman. I don't consider 70. I mean, in my family, my great grandmother on my mother's side, great grand lived to 108. So 70 is just a spring chicken in our family.
And age is certainly not a factor here, but the fact that you mentioned she had been there 4 decades, I mean, that's too long for anything. And with all due respect, this is politics we're talking, and one of the reasons many states are adapting term limits are to basically avoid exactly what Andrew's going against. How dare Andrew violate the Constitution and run against this machine here? And the bottom line is that he has every constitutional duty to do it, and instead of being not revered for doing it, but acknowledging, hey, here's somebody doing something, it's almost like somehow Andrew is the bad guy out for wanting to better the country.
If you go to that website, www.asmangoes, and read some of the comments of people who, as far as I can tell, must support Snow, I mean, it is like I'm committing a grievous crime running against her.
All right, well, Andrew, we've got No Way is back online with us. No Way?
Oh, hi.
Hi, hi. My son was on the other computer, and I think he knocked my phone off the line.
And we
but
also
yeah,
still have.
I was listening. I was listening there, and yes, a lot of the people that do back Olympia Snow, they've always backed her, and all she knows, all she has to do is give them something, or stand up for one or two of them, and say, "Well, what do you need? I'll get it for you." And how I feel, mostly in the state of Maine, what has bothered me over the years, I mean, I'm in my late 40s, and I have watched everything fall apart here for a lot of years. But it seems to be this welfare for votes.
Yeah,
whatever you need, I'll give it to you. But they don't think of the consequence of getting what they want. And I mean, there's a lot of towns and a lot of places in Maine that, like Andrew knows, we're wiped out.
Yeah.
And we can't combat And yes, the older crowd. They're set in their ways. They're going to stay set in their ways. And like you had just mentioned, how dare you go up against the nice lady of Olympia Snow? She has done so much for us. But they don't realize the consequences that have come because of it. They have handed our state government, our federal government, all the power. And now we can't fight them.
But no way. I mean, one of the things that certainly, I mean, that gives me a lot of frustration, however, which is a good leverage against Senator Snow, is the fact that she is fundamentally unprepared and incapable of understanding the challenges of the 21st century. For this woman to introduce the internet kill switch shows that a fundamental lack of understanding how important the internet is to commerce in the U.S., more importantly, to Maine.
Maine, there are
a lot of artisans. I know countless artisans who 50%, 75%, even in some cases, 100% of their income is derived from online sales. Any way you restrict, whether it's SOPA, PIPA, internet taxation, internet regulation, any of these things, or even she's a fan of net neutrality, any of those
things,
you are hurting the so-called small business that she claims to purport she likes so much. It's as farcical as some politicians at the national level who are going on about manufacturing and trying to bring us back to sort of this kind of 50s thing that never really existed. Things move on, and Maine can be a high-tech base, but if you have certain types of skills, unless they're skills where you can work on by yourself, whether you're a writer, a content provider, any of those things, if you actually have to do something with high tech that doesn't involve being able to work from home or work by yourself or work in a rural area, you have to leave the state because that's fundamentally the way it works. Because, and she's just going to make it worse.
Yeah. She doesn't want to lose the control.
She hasn't come out on Quimby yet either. She hasn't attacked Quimby for trying to turn the northern part of the state into a basically an environmentally Disney theme park,
right,
where no one can work there and earn a living.
And that, there's without any logging or anything there.
Yeah.
Oh no, nothing.
Nothing. And there's.
Right.
By the way, I've come out against that as well. And there's also the wind farms, where they're going to take this beautiful northern Maine and stick these giant wind turbines in them and ruin the ethos. The local people don't want it, and the people who do want it are just saying, you're a bunch of knuckle-dragging morons from the country. Go away and shut up. And Quimby has literally said that about the people who object to her national park. And where's our senior senator saying, you can't talk to the people of Maine like that? She's nowhere. And we need
people. Well, the one thing that people should look at, and being from Ashland originally, I know all about the Mars Hill wind farm.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in Mars Hill thought it was going to be something great because they played into the propaganda of big tax breaks and cheap electricity. And now the health problems alone being caused by that, that's not being put out there for the people to hear. People don't understand what is coming with this big, ugly wind farm. And they're not looking at UMPI, right in Prescott, the University of Maine in Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
They put up this big wind turbine. There's no savings there. It doesn't run half the time. It can't run half the time because of the cold weather. And if you get a big crosswind, the brakes come on and shut the thing down, and they're buying their power from Canada, like they always did. And it's a farce.
This is insanity, that the United States that has a constitution like we have, an absolute superpower with incredible weapons, the mass inventions we have had through the years, the American decades, that we're buying power from Canada. That is insulting.
But, I mean, the fundamental point about these things is if they looked at the experience of, say, Wales in the U.K., they decided it would be a really clever – I helped a very good friend of mine who attended my wedding. They put up wind turbines in the constituency where he was running for parliament. And every time we drove by them, we'd count the ones that were blown up, that weren't working. And let's say the wind farm, I don't know how many it was probably 30. At least a third of them weren't working. And then we found out why. Because they stuck them too close to the sea. You know, you got to understand, like the Maine coast, you have wind, salty air. What doesn't work well with salty air? Metal. So they had to have, wind fans and heaters in every one of those wind turbines so the thing wouldn't corrode and blow up. Oh, yes. It's also on the coast of Wales where they get 100-mile-an-hour winds. You know what in the southern part of the country they call a hurricane? In the North Sea, that's just a weak blow. But they can't operate over 60 miles an hour, or is it, I forget what it was. So they have to shut the things down if the wind is too strong or if it's too much.
Well, what it is over 40 miles an hour, they have to turn these things down. They have to...
40.
Hopefully the brakes will work and shut them down because they spin too fast and they overheat the generator.
And they blow up. Yeah.
And right, they blow up.
Now,
and then
the
city of Wells learned the hard way. They put one up. And then after they put it up and the townspeople were stuck for the bill, they realized, oh, we didn't account for all the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the wind turbine didn't work. Because the trees were blocking the amount of wind that they needed to turn the turbine.
Now, I had gone onto one of these websites a while back doing my energy research for one of the shows, and I came across this commercial by one of these wind farm manufacturers, and they're bragging how they had one of these. Well, you were talking about the one over in Wales, and I started to do the math to find out, you know, how many homes does just one of these wind turbines supply. And it was only 350 homes. Now, if you've got a community of, say, 35,000, that's 1,000 wind turbines. Where are you going to put them? Where are you going to fit 1,000 of them? And if only one-third of them work at a time, it makes absolutely no sense. I don't see how that can be green energy because I see more waste and more pollution from it than producing energy.
Well, it shows you the politics involved in this, too. That can you imagine if you're a business person, you say, and you propose this, but only a third work at the same time? You'd be like, get the hell out of here. Who is this idiot trying to sell me a bill of goods? Can you imagine a factory producing whatever it is, only a third of it is working at the time? I mean, hello?
And the one thing that they're not pushing for, which, I mean, I'm not, obviously, you know, my father was in oil. I have to say that because people find that out. But why not? Not want wave energy. First of all, you can bury the dam. You put the damn things in the deep sea, and waves are constant. You don't have to worry about is the wind blowing? Is the wind blowing too fast? And they're not. And they're not obvious for everybody. They're not a blot on the landscape. You mark them clearly for shipping, and they produce energy at a constant rate. Instead, we're wasting our money on these giant wind turbines, which. As if you stick them in the wrong place, there's too much wind. If you stick them in the wrong place, there isn't wind enough. If they go too fast, you have to keep them cool. It's a nonsense. It's about as intelligent as some of these places who, a while ago, stuck up solar panels in a place which was cloudy all the time. I understand in the middle of the desert. Okay. When my parents lived in Florida, we had a hot water heater powered by a solar panel. All right? Because the sun is out a lot. This is not rocket science. A comment which I made several times in my speeches is Mainers, and I don't know whether you're, are you born and bred in Maine? Before I speak.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in Ashland, and I now live in the southern part because there was nothing left in Aroostook County for work.
I mean,
so in '89, I moved down to southern Maine.
Mainers are logical people. They have a certain logic about them, whether my father or this gentleman. Why is it that Senator Snow, when she leaves the state, suddenly logic flies out the window? This is the woman who is getting up there, and people speaking on her behalf are saying this. They're saying that she voted a bill, Obamacare, out of committee into a democratically held House, Senate, and presidency, and was shocked when they shoved it through and didn't listen to any of her or fellow Republicans' objections. I don't understand how anybody could possibly stand there and say that with a straight face. That defies logic. She supposedly
right.
so explained.
My wife got a letter from her about that.
She said,
just because I voted it out of committee does not mean I'm voting for it. And I said the same thing you just said, is she just handed it to Obama and the Democrats, who are going to push it through.
And it's not like
they
hadn't pushed other things through without much discussion. I could understand
right.
one house is one way and one house. But the other side has the majority in all three governments. And this is a woman who claims we have to send her back because of all her experience in D.C. Surely that's basic.
That is true.
That's a scary thought.
That
one one of the things that's very scary is that here, and I don't know you very well, Andrew, but obviously you're fairly smart and you are articulate of the middle class. And here you are wanting to improve things, but there's just this big. It's just that 80% of these morons are so convinced Olympia Snow is somehow Helen of Troy, and. Just the fear,
I can't replace her.
I mean,
I'm going to defend the people in Maine. I actually think that's unfair for a very simple reason. The fifth estate, the press in Maine is colludes with Olympia Snow not to report accurate facts. Many people I encountered in these caucuses said, I didn't know you were running. And I've been running since February, speaking wherever I can possibly speak, sending out press releases, doing media online and offline, and they didn't know because no one's reporting on it. And the assumption is if the television networks specifically are not reporting on you, you're not doing anything. And that is the fundamental problem. So they don't know they have a choice. That is what I basically mean. So, yes, there are her sycophants and those who owe their fealty to her in the Republican Party and in parts of the wider community. But there are people who really don't know that they have a choice.
Right.
Well, this is one of the reasons why we want you out here on the show as often as possible to get the word out so that other BTR hosts can also get a hold of you. Go to your website, dodgeforsenate.com. You know, get a hold of Andrew. Bring him onto your shows. Jermaine, he's out there. Go on to that. Or Doc Jones, why don't you give him a call? We've got marathon pundit John Rubery in the chat room also. John, you know, take your pen out and start putting something up in your blog. We got to get your name out there, Andrew. And people, if you want to call in, the call-in line is open. It's 917-889-3675. Or if you have a question for Andrew, just pop it into the chat room, and I'll ask him on the question.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago when I was with Perry Steele. Perry Steele ran for Congress, I think it's in Memphis, and he was on the popular AM radio station. This is the one that has Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. And I remember a person called in just before Perry was the Republican lady. And a caller called in and said, I didn't even know Perry was on the ballot. You've had this lady on six times. First time I'm hearing of Perry. And that's a perfect example of what Andrew just said. When is the last time these popular radio station people have reached out to him and said, "Hey, you're running against Ms. Snow. Come on my show. Let's pimp you out and hear what you have to say." But it's just like a little country club. I mean, it's just going to be this person this time, and that's how it is. And how dare you try to buck the system? But you know, Andrew, I mean, you sound like a constitutionalist, and I can tell you this, I'm very excited about your campaign. I hope you trounce Ms. Snow.
I hope so, too.
I'm doing my best. I'm, as I said, I'm raising hell. Raising Cain, but I don't use that anymore because people say, oh, you mean Cain. And no, Raising Cain, the old expression. And doing whatever I can, and I got lots of people who are helping. I mean, I got this young firebrand up in northern Maine, and I've had people who don't even agree with me say, wow, where'd you find this guy? And we're doing it, but I don't know what you, all of you collectively that's listening to this, would have to do to get Channel 2 or channel the various TV channels or radio channels in Maine to actually report on me or interview me. It's just, it's like I'm this sort of, I swear there are probably insurgent groups, terrorist groups in various countries that get more press than I do in their home state. They get interviewed more often. They sneak someone out. They won't even sneak anybody out to Harpswell to say, ask me a question.
Well, you do have some other BTR hosts here. We've got Tesla in the chat room. He has his show, Socialism is Not an Option. We've got Thomas that's here on the phone with us. He's got his show, The Invisible Conservative. And I hear you hemming and hawing, Thomas. I know you're dying to say something.
I forgot what I was going to say. Y'all been talking so much, y'all forgot my train of thought. I just see how you want to be. But it's been a good conversation. I was going to say something about the whatever, the blizzard lady, snowstorm. Anyway, here
melt
in life,
the snow.
Yeah, melt the snow.
Plow the
what,
snow.
What the candidates, what you guys need to do, what really needs to be done, instead of having negative attack ads, why don't we use the truth, expose her track record, literally start challenging people. Okay, you say you believe this way. Well, here's her track record. Here's what she's done in Congress. But you say you believe opposite of that. Why are you supporting her instead of me? See, as conservatives and even against the established Republicans, we have to start playing dirty. And what I mean by that, taking the truth and sticking it back in their face, because the most candidates on both sides of the aisle don't think that the American people, and even a lot of, maybe first-time candidates, true conservative candidates, they don't think we're smart enough and intelligent enough to actually go pull their records, their congressional records, which are a matter of public record, and use it against them.
They think
right.
They think we're, well, there's also this perception, and I understand why there is this perception. There is this perception that people on the that are conservative, whatever type of conservative you want to talk about, we're not nasty, and that they're shocked when you do something like that. And the funniest thing about Olympia Snow is on her website is every one of her votes. It's on her official website. And I have actually challenged someone who I think worked for her about something after reading how she voted, and that I was told it was something different. That's how sycophantic the press and everybody in Maine is. She's never challenged. Ever since I announced my candidacy in February, if you watch the local news, every other night there's Snow doing something, scratching her nose with puppies. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the more they do it, the more it reminds me of like Gaddafi or Kim Il-sung.
Yeah.
This is him. It's farce. It is farcical. And as No Way and I have discussed, the biggest problem is that she's become very good at bribing people in Maine. And the problem is with that is that she claims to be a fiscal conservative as well, but we're not going to discuss that. You have this fundamental problem of where different aspects of Maine governance, mostly, are not running in the black. Well, every time they go in the red, you go and bum some money from the federal government. Our senator does it. and then they continue to operate in a physically imprudent way, and having to go to the federal government. Well, when we're $16 billion in debt, the federal government turns around and says, basically you weren't filling out that form right, and we gave you $150 million too much. Can we have it back, please? And everybody panics because they're not using sound judgment and balancing their books and not depending on the federal government. However, that is the way she keeps fealty, is doling out money. It works just like it did, you know, for all time. She's done, whenever anybody says she's done so much for Maine, what she means is she's brought back bribes to bribe people to vote for her. And I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. She shouldn't do it.
And the problem,
any other politician. That's not the reason that we pay our taxes to the federal government, to bribe constituents.
And I'd say one big problem we have in Maine is a lot of the areas in Maine, they have one media outlet, and that's it.
Yep.
You take, like, up in northern Maine, they have one TV channel and one newspaper.
Yep.
And that's it. They have no, they don't have a competition. They don't have competition for the true facts.
Nope.
And like my parents still living in Ashland, my father, he gets irate. He'll turn on the TV and it's bashing Governor LePage and bashing Governor LePage and bragging up John Martin.
Mm.
And I won't get into it here, but I know some, you know, there's some bad things about John Martin. And
he's not exactly the most upfront person in the world.
Well, I think there's no doubt we've learned throughout history that the media itself has held back on all kinds of things that maybe could have destroyed a person in office or running for office, etc. I don't think that's any doubt. I think the bottom line here is that at least now we have the internet. And, you know, we can work getting the message out here. But to show what a threat that the internet is, as Andrew pointed out, who's supporting the internet kill switch? A person who may not want the word to get out.
Well, of course. Why would she want the word to get out? After all, I pretty much, I pretty much exist on the internet, whether it's my professionalism or, you know, talking to everybody else, and she doesn't like that. By the way, Olympia Snow likes to claim she's a man of the people, a woman of the people, rather. But guess what? She has invite-only events.
Right.
Wow.
How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
That's a snob for you.
I tried for a year to get her just to come to Waterboro and look at all the information and research that I dug up over the past 26 years. They hang right up, ignore me. I never hear another word about it.
They just they spread the word that you're a crank, even though you're not.
Right. Well, what I done here, instead of using media and everything else, I literally made up videos of what the ground over there across the street looks like at the new middle school, and I went door to door and handed them a DVD and said, this is what they put the school on.
Wow.
And once the town realized that I was willing to go door to door, knocking on the doors and say, hey, this is a problem we have, now the town's using different means to try to basically shut me up.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. We've got...
Well, I mean, it's no different, with all due respect. People are stupid. They're not naive. They're not misled. They're stupid. When all of a sudden there's a person who has information and is threatening to use this information, a day later they're like, oh, my God, so-and-so was found in his apartment. He hung himself. He had a note saying how depressed he was. Yeah, right. I mean, and we're too stupid to even realize that we're dealing with powerful people. They won't hesitate to wipe out half a town if they have to. I mean, is there any difference between any of the monsters we've seen in the past and these people who basically, as I said, these machines, the Daleys and the Kennedys and the Olympia Snow, there's just so many of them to name. But, I mean, they will do whatever means necessary to shut people up and it doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
But there's also the other problem of there are certain candidates that you see at all levels. And, I mean, I could possibly argue that there's someone, the other person who's supposedly in the primary, was promoted and pushed by various people to get him in the race, even though he's a completely unsuitable candidate, and taking him down for Snow will be like swatting a fly. I mean, after all, this woman got Damoise on the ballot. She helped him get the signatures to get on the ballot in 2006, and donated money as did her husband, and he supported all her stuff like cap and trade, and now he's suddenly, oh my God, I'm a conservative. Anyway, whatever. But you get it at the national level. I won't go into it, but there's at least possibly one of the presidential candidates that's currently still running has a predilection for something that's fairly widely known, and there's probably even proof of it. And the media thinks it's would be a really fun idea for him to be doing well for a while, and then if he does well for a while or wins the nomination, which is unlikely, then this will come out, and he'll crash like what's his face? Anybody who falls from grace. And the naivete and the ego of the person who happens to be running is even funnier. But there are, if you're hiding something, I'm not one of these people who thinks you have to be Lily White, because no one is. But if you do have things in your past that some people might take exception to or might use against you, the best way of doing it is be public about it and go, yeah, and then there's no story. But it does amaze me in the 21st century that there are still politicians running around where all these facts are easy to come by, and they continue to deny them and act like they're not there, whether it's Snow or Scott Damoise or some of the other people running. It's just beyond belief. I mean, as if no one can understand the Internet. It's because they don't. It's bizarre.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah. It's an amazing uphill battle that you have here, Andrew. And I want to let everyone know that your site is dodgeforsenate.com, so please take a visit to his site. Our phone lines are also open if you want to make a call and ask a question. I did extend this up until 4 o'clock, so we've got another 30 minutes, so if anyone wants to call, please feel free. It's 917-889-3675. Now, what's the next step on your campaign? Where are you going to be taking this to now after you had the caucus this weekend?
Well, after the caucuses that are over but not over. They're still actually going on in the far wilds of Maine. But currently I did this interview early today, and I've got today, and we're reworking the sites, and we're just working on various other projects, a couple of which I can't really go into. And you just keep pushing on, and I've been getting interview requests, and I take them all. I don't care where you are. I will do radio with Radio Ulaanbaatar if they want to interview me. You know, everybody's online these days, and it's maybe we could actually force some journalist in Maine to actually cover me properly. It would be nice. But
this is kind of a stupid question, Andrew. But have you contacted like those, you know, the stations that have like Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and those stations and asked, hey, I'm running for U.S. Senate here.
I they get my press releases. I don't know what that matters. And they don't seem to care. As I said, I unfortunately think the establishment in D.C. and this, you could also include some Fox hosts, have decided that I may be speaking out of turn here. I think that there is an assumption that the Republicans won't win the presidency. So they want to make sure that they hold on to the House and they gain the Senate. So, in other words, we'll have a lame duck president for 4 years. I think that's the priority. And if you're challenging a sitting Republican, no one at the national level wants to touch you. You don't exist. I think.
I don't think what you just said, Andrew, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I don't think what you just said I think in some ways there's a clear picture that that's a good possibility, and that's exactly what their strategy is. We're not dealing with idiots here. We're dealing with people who have people who, when they see the reality. I remember Karl Rove making a statement 3 weeks before the election with McCain, and they showed the states and whatever. And Karl Rove outright said, at this point, it appears that Barack Obama is well in control of the Electoral College. And he said, therefore, what the Republicans must do is try to prevent. And he went on to say exactly what you're saying, but in the opposite strategy. And it's very, very true. I mean, there's something taboo about speaking the truth in politics. I don't know why that is.
Well, it's not taboo for me, and it occasionally gets me into trouble. I mean,
good for you.
I sat on two committees on my town and the Zoning Board of Appeals, and they do not like when I just come right out and tell them, this is the truth, this is the facts, this is how it is, and they look at me like I've got horns coming out of my head or something.
Yeah, because you're not nuanced.
Why does the truth scare you guys so bad?
Well, I mean, it's just, I have been known to criticize our governor sometimes for the way he says things.
Yes.
And he's not as diplomatic that he could be in the right. There are times to be diplomatic and there are times not to be diplomatic. You can still say something that's true, but you don't have to do it in such a way to turn potential allies off. Particularly speaking about the mural thing when he said, all artists are idiots, should we listen to them? Well, there are a large amount of artists in Maine, creative types in Maine, many of whom are actually Republicans. I happen to know three or four, at least, and I don't know that many of them. And to call them all into disrepute just because of one issue is a bit short-sighted, I think. And, I mean, I think there's a difference between being blunt. There's being blunt and factual, and there's being blunt and offensive. And that's a thin line, and I try to stay on the right side. I'm not always perfect, but I think that helps. And
well, we punish kids for lying. We put people in jail for lying, but for politicians, it's a different story.
No, we just reelect them.
We just reelect.
We just reelect them, right?
Well, I mean, I think the fundamental problem is that we've gotten away from. I personally don't agree with term limits, that making it official because we have term limits. So they're called elections. And well, rather than tinkering with the system, we need to make the system that we have work properly before we do something like that. And we need to encourage people who are able, financially or whatever way, to run. Because our founding fathers envisioned citizen representatives to go and serve for one or two terms or three terms or whatever, and then do their public service and then go back to whatever they were doing beforehand. Now, there's nothing wrong, I think, with someone going and being a senator or representative, and then because of that position being thought of slightly higher. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that you have professional politicians is a problem. And when you have a professional politician, I won't mention his name, but there's several running who've been in Congress or in Washington for 30 or 40 years saying I'm an outsider, you sort of have to look at them and say, what? No. An outsider is someone who's never run before. I'm an outsider. I have political experience, but I've never held office. I'm an outsider. Someone who's held political office or run four or five times and lost is not an outsider. It's bizarre that anybody can possibly consider someone who has been in D.C. serving whether it's the House or the Senate as an outsider. It's ridiculous. It's a nonsense. It's almost an insult to the word. We need more people who have never run for anything again to run for whatever office they can think of, whether it be the most lowly office or Senate or even president, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, one of the problems I've been seeing, and I'm hoping that this legislation will pass, this I'm talking about specifically the Spice Act, where politicians are making tons and tons of money on insider deals that if I were to do it, I'd be behind bars.
Well, they'd be if you were on Wall Street, you do it, you'd be on bars. That's the worst thing. If you're in Wall Street, you can, yeah. I mean, it's just it's boggling the mind, and especially when you look at some of the sponsors. It's like the problem is that there is a perception of like, well, I've made all my money, now I'm closing the door on everybody else. There is that perception as well, and you know, I hate to see a situation where they say, well, okay, if you're a senator or a member of the House of Representatives, and you have another profession, you can't partake in that for the entire time you're serving, because that would limit the pool even more. So the only people who could actually serve are people who don't have another profession besides being a politician. Yeah.
Right.
Mike.
I have always thought of, you know, it's like Andrew had just said, we don't really need term limits. We have votes. I've always looked at it as, we need voter-enacted term limits. When
exactly.
A person is not doing their job, they're not representing the people, then it's up to the people to vote them out. But
exactly.
It's also up to the people to find a good replacement, somebody that is going to represent them and not represent the establishment.
Hmm.
If it be local government, state government, county, right up to the feds. People
yeah.
have to stand up for their country.
And but by the way,
no, you can't just sit back and whine about it.
No, you have, and there are people, I mean, intelligent people, I presume, who are criticizing me because I'm a freelance writer. You know,
right?
You're a geek because because someone doesn't have a job which entails working with their hands or whatever way you want to put it. But I find that absolutely ridiculous and appalling, because if you want people who understand modern life and the 21st century, you need to attract people who, you know, have never worked in an office a day in their life, and they earn a living by sitting in a coffee shop doing whatever they do online, and they earn a living, you know, or freelance writing or freelance web design or freelance whatever. There shouldn't be this prejudice that unless you go out to work, you don't understand the plight of the working man, which is a complete nonsense. Because especially if you're a web content provider or a freelance writer, and you earn your crust from magazines or websites, how do they pay for themselves? Advertising. What is the thing that gets cut if the economy is in a bad shape? Advertising. And I don't have to tell any of you who are or Blog Talk Radio hosts. Some of you may have made some money at a time from your radio show due to advertising. Advertising gets cut, you earn less, you have to go out and find another income. So to say that people like me or anybody who works in the, you know, high tech space online or whatever way you kind of doesn't understand the economy is a nonsense. And that has actually been a line of attack.
Smear tactics have worked for years and years, as we know. And you know what, everyone? Andy is not feeling well, so we're going to jump to some closing statements right now, because, as you know,
okay.
She's battling bronchitis. So, Andrew,
yes.
The next U.S. Senator from Maine. You realize, Andrew, if you win, they'll probably assassinate you the night of the election. how about a closing statement, Mr. Senator?
Okay, well, I'd like everybody to please go to dodgeforsenate.com, the new look, dodgeforsenate.com. Thank you, Doug Welsh, for the site. Please donate. We've got a Pyrrhic system. You can do a virtual check or PayPal or all kinds of other things. She's got a machine. You're fighting against the machine. You need money. And so please donate as much as you can and keep track. Watch this space. I'm certainly going to make sure I keep it interesting. And there's some big developments to come, and we've got some interesting plans. You know about plans in politics, whether they work or not. Watch this space, and I plan to keep you entertained, interested, and let's get rid of Senator Snow and get someone and get some a decent someone who understands the 21st century as senator for the United States for Maine in the United States Senate.
All righty. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, No Way 92, Thomas, and everyone. Tesler, thank you very, very much. Sorry to cut everything short. However, as we know, Annie is feeling under the weather, and you can help melt the snow, too, by going to Andrew Ian Dodge's website. Even if it's a buck, my friends, every dollar helps. Let's melt the snow this spring.
All righty, Annie. Thanks, Mike, because I just want to remind everyone, on Friday, we're going to have Frank Salvato of the Basics Project, and I know there's a lot of constitutionalists out there in the chat room, and they definitely want to join in on Friday with Frank Salvato.
I need to read his website. It's man, Annie, I don't know where you're pulling these people out of, but it's like I'm beginning to think like I'm part of the Royal Factor here with all the guests you got. But anyway, Annie, you go get some rest. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you we'll see you tonight in all our chat rooms and all our shows, and I'll listen to you at 11:30 tonight on Conservative Primetime. Good night.
Good night, everyone.